Welcome to Entertainment Banter. That's Matt that you can't see, and I'm Joel.
You still
can't see
but
me.
You can hear Matt, and Matt's here.
Joel, what?
Well, I'm here. Let's talk.
Yeah. Joel didn't see you there for a second. Sorry.
So today we're going to talk about the third Thor movie, right?
Oh, we're going to talk about another Marvel movie?
Yeah. We do talk about them a lot, but you know what? We're biased now. We love them.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Our last episode, if fans are paying attention, we didn't mention Marvel at all.
No, we didn't.
Oh my god.
Oh, well, there you go. It's a first.
Take a shot.
Yeah. So Thor, I'm not even sure if I'm going to say it right. Ragnarok?
Yeah, you said it right.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sure someone's saying you said it wrong, but it's fine.
Okay, well.
I thought it was right.
I'm only going to say it once because I'll screw it up, but
Third Thor
anyways,
movie.
Anyways,
I was going to say Sylvester Stallone's in it, but he's in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did bring up Marvel in our last Entertainment Banter.
When? What did you say?
Galaxy.
Too. We did bring it up. Oh, well. Anyways.
Moving on.
So, Thor.
Thor.
I tried it.
Okay. Thor. Handsome man. Goes from long lady locks with two eyes to one eye and cut hair.
Yeah, I loved it. I
enjoyed it very much. No, you were saying that it was too trying to be hip-hoppy and everything. You thought it was not going to be good.
Listen, I don't know who you're cheating on me with, but you need to stop.
Bullshit.
Right now,
bullshit. Yeah,
no,
you said the trailer made it look like they're trying to be like Guardians of the Galaxy now. They're trying too hard.
True. That part's true.
See?
It did feel. You have to admit that it did feel a little Guardians.
See, it wasn't just you I was sleeping with.
So my thought is this. Okay, that's a good point. Well, let's jump right in. So
we did.
Maybe it feels Guardians-esque because it's in space?
Do you feel like it's Guardians-esque because you feel like it's the Collector that got him? Because it wasn't the Collector. It was the Jeff Goldblum. I don't know who he was.
Yeah, but no, my thing is, like, you have to admit there was a definite element of humor in this movie, more so than all the other Thor movies.
Well yeah, because it wasn't just a Thor movie. It was also the next Hulk movie.
Well, but under the umbrella of Thor, just like the Captain America movie was technically Civil War, but they called it Captain America.
Yeah, because Captain America is a boring character, and they had to spice it up somehow.
Well, they also are trying to combine stories to move along.
Yeah, they were rushing. They should not have called it Civil War, but that's a different story.
Well, but you know what, though? I don't want to compare it to DC, but at least with Marvel, they're saying, hey, we're going to make this movie to get to the Thanos.
From point A to point B, let's do this.
We're going to throw one little thing into this. And I think that's what they did with this Thor movie, when they introduced the quote-unquote Hulk planet.
Wait,
side
what?
Story. Hulk planet, kind of like this, the side story of Hulk planet.
Wait, when they talk about Hulk planet?
So, well, it's implied. So when Thor goes to this planet, they kind of married the two stories where, you know, like when Hulk went to the planet and liberates it, helps liberate it.
Oh, it wasn't like a planet full of Hulks?
Well, it was like Gladiators. I believe it was like Gladiators.
Oh, really? I never read the Hulk comics. I mean, I only know a few things about it.
So there's like a big story arc. There's two story arcs that Marvel tapped into. Maybe three if you're actually including the story of the expanding universe of Marvel for the Thanos version, meaning leading up to the Thanos movie. But they touched the part where people have always wanted to see the Thor-Hulk battle, right? Everybody wants to see that. But in addition to that, they touched on the Hulk and liberating that gladiator-type planet. That's
sure.
Why the rock gladiator was there, and he had a
yeah, he was kind of fun.
Part. Yeah.
He had his moments.
Side note, that's the director of the film.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think he did a great job. You just saw it recently, right?
Well, yeah. Recently,
I mean, it already came and went. It's already on DVD, so this podcast, the movie Apari, will be on VHS by the time you get it.
We're going back in time?
Why? I don't know why I even said that. Probably the listener's like, what the hell's a VHS? It's one of those things that you make bagels with. So
you made me think of something else. Like, there's some movie I was watching recently, and they're like, oh, we got it on a compact disc. And I was just like, oh, man, we still have compact discs.
You mean like a CD? Why are we calling it a compact disc? Yeah,
but they were trying to talk like it was some scientific reference, you know, like, it's on compact disc.
I got a video CD, video compact disc.
So, I don't know if it was I don't know if it was a extra thing or no, I think it was the Thor movie itself. Because you know how they did that spin-off thing on YouTube or whatever, that where Thor was missing from Civil War? We already had an argument over like when this took place, but...
Well, he's like a roommate like, or whatever.
The roommate situation, which was hilarious. But in the movie, it actually was Thor saying, like, talking to Doctor Strange. I just thought it was one of the funniest lines, like, no, but you could have sent, like, an electronic... letter. It's called an email. He's like, do you have a computer? He's like, God, no, why? Why would I have that? It's stupid stuff like that. I just thought that movie was just so well
done. I think the interaction of Doctor Strange and Thor was pretty accurate to what the comics were like.
Sure.
I thought that was great. It was such a small part at the beginning of that movie. That was great. I want to point out, though, that I went to go see this movie with my lovely girlfriend.
Yes.
Who's awesome. And she wanted to go see Thor Ragnarok. And when we watched the movie, she leaned over to me and asked me who Doctor Strange was. And it was great because, like, I'm like, you didn't see the Doctor Strange movie? She goes, no, I wasn't intrigued by it. But I'm like, are you intrigued now to see it? And she goes, a little bit. And it's just great because now, like, are you frozen? You look like you're frozen in space right now.
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. You're really intently listening, like, very, like, into it. So. So it was cool because, like, when you read the comics, I really like this aspect of the whole Marvel universe because in the comics, you would read The Amazing Spider-Man or you'd read, like, you know, The Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine style, whatever you do, you know, right? The Wolverine Chronicles. And then he would interact with these people. But then, like, how did, like, also Wolverine ran into Spider-Man? How did he run into Spider-Man? Why was Spider-Man there? And then it'll say, like, in the corner, like, hey, you got to read episodes of Amazing Spider-Man 6 through 19 to understand of how he ended up in this situation right here. Or somewhere like the Civil War is how they had the Iron Man story, the Spider-Man story, the Captain America side. And you can figure it out, and you can create this large story arc. That would be great. You get the normal story, and you don't have to read those stories to get the full story. But it's great to have that as to make the universe bigger. So I'm waiting for, like, the end of the Marvel movie, the movies, and go, hey, were you confused about this character? Or, like, say, hey, see more about Doctor Strange in these movies or something. I'm waiting for that to come out because now you can go back and, you know. So I asked her about Ragnarok, like, did it bother you or were you confused at all or did it ruin the story in any way with Doctor Strange, you not knowing anything about him? And she said, no, all it did was make her curious about him. So now, like, it's such a marketing scam, because now we're like, well, we saw Thor Ragnarok. Oh, well, I'm going to go buy this movie now of Doctor Strange to learn more about why he's in this universe.
You know, that just tells us that Marvel's doing a great job doing a fantastic introducing these job. Characters.
And without ruining a movie, bringing other characters in and going, oh, who is that person? Well, they already explained him over here.
It's a great point because what you're saying is someone who had no idea what that character was, it still had a purpose in the movie enough that it wasn't a distraction.
It still had a purpose, it still had the storyline, it still had, like, you understood what he was, and he was helping Thor in some kind of way, and even though he didn't know who Thor was, but at the same time get you curious, but like, maybe I'll go see that movie, I want to know more about him. Maybe I don't want to know more about him, maybe I don't give a shit about his life.
Well, so you obviously liked the movie, right?
I have enjoyed every Marvel movie so far except the first Captain America movie.
Really?
That made me go to sleep. It was really boring.
Well,
Captain America's a boring character. A Boy Scout? Who gives a shit? He's just like the Marvel version of Superman.
I don't know, but see, to me,
boring.
I appreciated the Captain America movie because of the fact that of the time in which it took place. You know, everyone loves, you know, the era of World War II.
I like that era too, and it was just, maybe I should rewatch it. Maybe I was just sleepy.
Well, and you have to understand, I think it was a good platform to jump off of because you have to understand where that character comes from because he's grown. Obviously, he's not boring anymore. I think he's evolved. They've done a good job.
Oh, he's boring. They're going to kill him off in Infinity War. Let's be done with it.
That's probably true, but I'd be more curious to see who takes his place. But Bucky, we're getting off subject from Bucky or... No, because remember I told you in the comics.
It's not going to be Falcon. They're not going to go that route. They're building up Bucky for it. They could do Falcon route. They could do either or, but they've been building up Bucky. But now we're on Civil War. We're not on Ragnarok anymore.
I know. Let's get back to Ragnarok. Well, the reason why I was asking if you liked Ragnarok is because I was going to say, what were the like, what were the three things that you loved most about it? Because I, honestly, there's, like, a lot that I enjoyed, but I just wanted to hear your opinion.
I honestly, it's been a while since I saw it, but I can remember, like, it had its ups, it had its downs. It was a fun movie. It was exciting. I did enjoy it. There was actually some parts I probably didn't like as much as others. I don't really like Thor's character in them. I never liked Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, but Disney's has put him in this light to where they're actually fun characters to watch and be entertained by. And Thor has turned into this character that he has some kind of comedic relief, and maybe it was forced a little bit here and there because, you know, all like in Guardians, what's his name? Sky of Star-Lord. He, you know, he's a comedic relief. And then you got in the other movies, there's always like some comedic relief, I'm sure, but
Ant-Man was more of a comic relief. Ant-Man is a
comic relief, but I guess they're trying to make Thor into that as well. And I don't think he's that character. Even though it was entertaining and he's fun, but anytime I read anything with Thor in it, he's still that, I'm a deity, I'm a god.
Right, right. Well.
And then they divorce, and then he breaks up with Jan. No, man, he marries her. What the heck?
Well, if you look at it in the context of the Marvel Expanded Universe that they're doing, the cinematic universe, I should say.
Well, it's his own universe. They're not going to follow the comics completely, so they're going to do their own thing.
Right, but I would say between all of the movies that Thor's been in, would you at least see or say that there was a growth? Like, has his character evolved? Because I remember, yes. For example, like when you watch the first Avengers,
mm-hmm.
That's when Thor kind of cracks his first joke. I mean, in that movie, he's saying, "You guys are all petty," when they're arguing, and, you know, Banner grabs that staff. And I remember they're all, like, arguing over S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever. And
sure.
Thor just says, "Oh, you guys are petty." And then later on, you know, it's like, "Oh, Loki's my brother. Impression. He's adopted." And so the jokes slowly start to come into play with Thor.
Absolutely. The characters are aging and they're developing over the movies. They are absolutely becoming different characters as they evolve. Obviously, I mean, it's what makes part of the movie great. Like, you're seeing these characters evolve before your eyes. So, yeah, right. I mean, I guess he's evolving into that more comedic character. And it's fun to see that interaction for him and Hulk. You know, the audiences are now waiting for, since the new Disney merger with Fox, we're all waiting for a Hulk-Wolverine movie, which I'm sure is going to be in the making.
Yeah, especially if they get Hugh Jackman. But I'm trying really hard to stay on Thor Ragnarok.
Well, right, I heard now. Hugh Jackman was probably going to have a cameo appearance in New Infinity War.
Not, oh, really?
The next Avengers movie.
Right, gotcha.
I heard you expressed interest. Yeah.
Part 2.
Part 2, whatever.
Well, that's a good point, because you brought up Hulk, too. So this is the first time we've seen Hulk actually be able to carry on a sentence. And
he was more of a focal point than just a side character, because he didn't get his own movie. He's not the biggest scene in Avengers 1. Two or Civil War, and his two movies were not Mark Ruffalo. It was the, I don't know who the first actor was, and then Edward Norton.
Yeah. Well, I think so. For example, with this new Hulk that we see, I appreciated seeing him, an intelligent, so to speak, Hulk. You know, because in the comics, you always wonder, like, why is this guy an Avenger? If he just every time he gets mad, he's just gonna go destroy something. You can't control him. How is that heroic? So now they've established that over time, because in the movie they say he was the Hulk for 2 years. Hulk kind of grew and developed, and maybe has the mind of a 5-year-old. I don't know, but
well,
you can at least now have a conversation with him.
We're waiting for Gray Hulk to come out. Do you think they're going to do any of that? Like, do Red Hulk? Well, because the commander who gave Tony Stark this is the Marvel hero, whether the Heroes Act.
Right.
And that guy becomes the Red Hulk eventually. And
he actually pulled him.
He's actually the same actor from the Hulk movie of Edward Norton's movie. So they're still pulling those actors too.
Yeah, so Edward Norton's the only one that...
They're not trying to keep it canon.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I think if it happened, it would be after the Infinity Wars. I think that's when they would try to do something like that.
Do the Grey Hulk and things like that, yeah.
Yeah. But with this movie, the Thor movie, I really enjoyed a lot about it. One was, it was very... I just thought whoever designed it did an amazing job. I thought all the locations, I thought the settings, I thought the costumes. I just thought the overall design was so vibrant and cool. Like, it almost, the characters, especially on that planet of trash, whatever it was, I forget the name of the planet, but the costumes for all the people that were in the junk area, they were amazing. They looked like they was out of Star Wars. And I thought that the music soundtrack was a very cool choice between the techno 80s feel, and then you incorporated, you know, Led Zeppelin. That song just looks so awesome when he's, like, coming in with the lightning. I mean, they just gave everything. And then finally, like, the blocking, I guess, is the best way you can describe it. Like, every cinematic shot and the blocking that the actors were told to do. Or, for example, when Thor discovers, you know, he's the god of, you know, thunder or lightning, whatever. And he does the first thing he does on that Rainbow Bridge after he does that amazing jump with Led Zeppelin is he does this really cool spiral, like, spin and knocks down all the first couple of Evil Dead guys with, like a bowling pin, you know? It was just really well done. I thought the characters, the ship that the chick was flying, the Valkyrie girl, like, it was like an automated gun. It was a ship. It was a place where she lived, and it was a stadium seat, like it just hovered in the air, and she could watch, you know, the gladiator contest, drinking a beer. I mean, like, it was just really well thought out. The circle ring that they were locked in, the gladiators were locked in, where Thor keeps running in circles. I loved the graffiti on the walls, the alien graffiti on the walls. I just thought there was a lot of detail and attention put into that movie.
Absolutely. What do you think about the ending of the movie where he no longer has his hammer and he has no longer long hair or an eyeball?
I actually liked all of it because to me, again, it shows, and that's not just a tribute to the character, but to the cinematic universe of Marvel. And that's, you know, everything's evolving and advancing. You know,
like I thought it was growing, great symbolism. He's growing as a character. Now he can do all his things he had the hammer for. The hammer was a crutch then.
Right.
Like, well, it wasn't the weapon that made the man. The man makes the weapon.
Yeah. Kind of it's statement. Like training wheels on a bike, you know? Like, his father put him in training wheels. That's how I looked at it. Loki. You didn't talk much about Loki. Their relationship. Brothers, you know.
He's the Thor, trickster.
Yeah, but Thor tricked the trickster. Like, so it shows growth there, you know? By putting that, whatever, the thing on his neck or back that causes them to be paralyzed.
So, yeah, and then he gets the Tesseract, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's implied. Yeah, it's implied that he takes it.
Well, in the trailers of Infinity Wars, it looks like he took it.
Oh, yeah, of course, absolutely. But with Loki, too, what about the brother relationship? What did you think of that? Because do you think they're actually on common ground? Do you think Loki's going to be the unwritten hero of the Infinity Wars?
I don't know.
Because he's been a villain since day one. He's been...
No.
Not going anywhere.
He always does that. He always chooses the side that's winning and then goes back to his normal ways afterwards. That's his MO.
But you didn't see any connection this time because remember at the very end of the movie, Thor, you know, Thor always throws stuff at him to see if it will go through him because he's not really there. But at the end of this movie, Loki was there.
Right.
So you don't think, like, they've kind of come to this point where they're actually going to work together. I mean, I expect a little backstabbing or misdirection of backstabbing. Like, I can see the Infinity War where it's going to appear Loki's on their side, but then it's going to appear he betrayed them, but really, he actually doesn't. I can kind of feel... I feel like that vibe might take effect. What do you think?
Dude, it's anyone's game. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
So.
They go anyway with it. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy the ride.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. So, the only other thing I was thinking about, the danger of having these characters turn into comedic-type characters is bringing them all together. And quite literally, at the end of that movie, the Guardians of the Galaxy ship arrives and meets up with the Thor ship. And so now we have two sets of goofballs in space. You think they're going to come together?
I'm curious by how all this interaction is going to happen, because there's so many characters they're going to be bringing together for the first time that people are going to be meeting for the first time, especially the Guardians of the Galaxy. They have yet to mingle in any kind of way, at least like the other Avengers. Like, Tony's aware of Spider-Man, Thor, the Hulk. He's aware of Ant-Man. He's aware of Hawkeye, you know, Falcon, you know, Black Widow. Right. He's aware of Doctor Strange will be interesting when he gets introduced, because he was not... No one talked to him yet, right? No one...
That's a good question. That. I don't believe so.
I don't remember. Oh, I guess Thor did. Thor mentioned, you know, meets him, you know, so... It'll be interesting with all these characters being mixed. And then they have all these little side characters that no one really thinks about as well. Like, you know, when they made... Thor made his team, you know, at Ragnarok. He had Loki and the Valkyrie girl.
That's a great point. That's something I was talking to my wife about.
And then even Black Panther had a little team, too. You know, his own little team. So, like, everyone had their own little team. And then Deadpool's going to have his little X-Force team. But that's not going to be Infinity Wars.
No, but that's a good point, though, because... The Marvel Cinematic Universe, they're doing a good job. It's very subtle, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because, yeah, each Avenger is basically got an army. Like, Captain America's with Black Panther and Black Widow, and now Alder Wakanda or whatever is with them. You've got, Iron Man's always had his extra robots. I don't know if he's going to use those in the movie or not. You have Thor, who... now has all of Asgard, because they're homeless. He's got an entire team of Asgard. Plus, he's also got the Gladiators. You have... who are we forgetting? Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. You've got all the Ravagers. You've got Nova Corps. You know? And I'm wondering, because Thanos... I mean, you got literally all these armies.
It'd be great if they got the Defenders in there, too.
The Defenders?
It'd be great if they did the Defenders, but...
Are they... Is that still slated?
To what? Be in the movie?
Yeah.
I doubt it. They should be, but I doubt
it. Because originally they were going to do Inhumans, and now that's a TV show.
Inhumans?
Yeah. Originally they had slated the possibility of Inhumans being a movie, but now it's Inhumans a TV show. Not.
No, I think they finally dropped it as soon as they got mutants back.
Yeah.
Because the Inhumans were their way of making mutants, and it's awful. It's awful. Inhumans are stupid.
I know.
It's all stupid.
That's politics for you. So, is there anything else you wanted to say about Thor?
Thor.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. I just thought it was a well-made movie. It was a fun ride.
I think if you're going to, you should go, we're not plugging it or anything like that, but you should definitely go see Thor Ragnarok. Even if you haven't seen the first two, forget it. It'll just entertain you more because you won't even know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, out of all the Marvel movies they've made, I don't know, it feels like there's 20 of them, but there's obviously 18, not that many. 18,
I think.
Is it 18, really?
Yeah.
I have to say, it's up there. It's one of my top favorite Marvel movies now.
Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
And isn't that great? Like, now you're watching these movies, I'm noticing more and more that people are, you know, usually the sequels aren't the better ones, but now it's turning into, like, this Marvel universe where, like, the sequels are just as good, if not better, because it's not like they're piggybacking off just one movie. They're piggybacking off two. So Thor Ragnarok is not only piggybacking off after Thor 1 and 2, but it's piggybacking also off for Avengers 1 and 2, and it's also piggybacking after the Captain of Civil War. It's piggybacking after, you know, all these movies. Like, Hulk's in Thor because if he left for Civil War. Right? No, not Civil War. It wasn't in Civil War. Because Avengers 2.
Right,
Avengers
right.
2 came about because Avengers 1. But all those didn't happen because of, you know, Iron Man 1, 2, and Captain America and all that. So it's like all these movies are now, you started this row of people, of movies, that are slowly now just building up. So, like, the aftermath of what we get of Thor Ragnarok is not because of Thor 1 and 2. Well, it's because of all these other movies that were made to create what we have now. And it'll be the same when we get Infinity War. Infinity War turned into this fantastic movie. Yes, it's a sequel to the first two Avengers movies. Absolutely. But it's also a sequel to Thor, Guardians, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain America. It's just all these, like, sequels just all come together. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. And it's funny, when you were talking, you also reminded me randomly, it popped in my head, but I loved the scene of the play that Loki had them performing.
Matt Damon's playing
Loki, and you have Sam Neill playing Odin or whatever. I forgot who was supposed to be playing Thor, but it was hilarious. Yeah. I just thought that scene cracked me up. Because the cameos now are shameless. You know?
Well, because they want to be in it now. Like, all these performers are like, I want to be in the movie.
Yeah. And I, you know what? Out of all the cameos that Stan Lee has done, I thought this one was great, too. Because you literally see Thor afraid to get his hair cut. And then it also explains why his hair is so botched, but actually looks so cool at the same time.
Because
of
Stan Lee.
Because Stan Lee's got that ridiculous hair trimmer thing. He's like, no, not my hair, please, no. Like, to me, that was hilarious. I could, the Willy Wonka tunnel, my God, that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He starts yelling. Oh, my God. I there's just a lot of great moments in that movie. I thought it was a really
A fun ride. It was a fun ride.
It was. Whoever wrote it did a good job.
Makes you really excited for the new one.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm afraid to say it, but, like, I'm curious how Infinity is going to be. You know, with all these great fun rides, you know they're going to try to be serious again.
This will be serious.
Infinity story.
This will be serious with some comedy breakdown. Because you even saw, like, you know, Star-Lord talking to Tony Stark and
Peter Parker.
And he's just like, your plan is great. I love it. But let's go with my plan because your plan sucks.
Yeah, that's true. And that was great.
But let's go with my plan.
Yeah, so it'll be cool to see. Do you think Sylvester Stallone will be leading the Ravagers in the Infinity?
Oh my God, so you can't understand him. Like, you need subtitles for that man.
Oh my gosh, it's too funny. All right, well, that's it. That's Thor Ragnarok. I love it. You know what we need to do for a podcast? I just thought of this. Is we need to, like, list our top 20 movies or top 100 movies at some point. Like, just spit them out as fast as you can. The future, but that was Thor Ragnarok. It's definitely in my modern day top 20. I think I enjoyed it that much. Modern day means like when I don't know. I Harry Potter and maybe like Star Wars prequels on. That's my modern day movies for now. Even though it's still like a decade old.
Gross.
Before that, it's like, you know, Ten Commandments, Casablanca, original Star Wars trilogy. That kind of stuff.
Save it for the podcast.
Save it for the other podcast.
Right.
All right, well, thank you for listening to Entertainment Banter. I'm Matt.
And that makes me Joel. I'm done.